Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. The text for this morning is our epistle lesson from Hebrews chapter 2, highlighting again for you the first three verses. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard. This is the text. You may be seated. Sign, sign, everywhere a sign. Signs are everywhere. We see them all the time, everywhere we go, along the road. Signs warn us of dangers lying ahead. Curves, slippery when wet, uneven pavement. We buy a new appliance for our home or a power tool, and it comes with a manual that everyone reads all the way through before you even so much as plug the thing in, right? Right? Everybody does that, right? It's what it says you're supposed to do. And there's symbols all over that book, and there's decals stuck on the device itself. Electric shock hazard, amputation warning. These things are so common. We know what they mean, and we know what to do or not to do when we see them. But are we as in tune? Are we as familiar and prepared when it comes to seeing and reading spiritual warning signs? The writer of the Epistle to the Hebrews made this a top priority for his readers. They were in spiritual danger. It seems the congregation was experiencing persecution. They were being tested severely. Would they remain faithful? Would they continue to hold on to the faith they had received and to confess Christ boldly? Or would they forsake him and turn back to their former ways? Their former ways were the ways of Judaism, the way of the works of the law. Surely their tormentors would back off if they simply slipped back into practicing what they had formerly known to be right. After all, the law of Moses is unbreakable. It was delivered to him through angels. And they knew full well that those who failed to keep it were punished. The history of their people provided ample evidence of that. So the writer uses the most straightforward logic with them. It's true, he says. That message that was declared by angels proved to be reliable. And every transgression or disobedience did receive a just retribution. And Moses was a great prophet, revered among our people like no other. But the message we have received and have come to believe was delivered to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's no mere prophet. He's the very Son of God. So much greater than Moses, and greater even than all of the angels. Those who instructed us heard it firsthand from his own mouth. So, if that message that was declared by angels proved to be reliable, well, then how much more reliable is the message declared by the Son? And if the laws, threats, and punishments are real and true, well, then how much greater is the promise of grace and redemption that the Son has accomplished? If we turn from the faith of Christ and revert to works of the law for our hope and salvation, we will surely not escape a far greater judgment. For to reject Christ is to remain in our sin and face the eternal judgment of hell. But to trust in him is salvation and life forever. For the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has fulfilled the law for us, right down to the very last letter. He has suffered innocently and laid down his life on the cross as the payment for all of our sins. He has risen to life again to win victory over death in the grave and to conquer Satan and all the forces of evil. And because he lives, we too shall live with him forever. By faith in his blood, we have the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. How could we ever turn away from that? Turn away from him? No, my dear friends, says the writer, there can be no going back, because Christ and his salvation are so much better than the old ways that could lead only to death. So stand firm. Trust in the Lord. He will deliver you. He will not fail you. This period of testing and sorrow is but for a moment. The joy and the glory that are to come will last forever. Now, there's a great argument, isn't it? Pretty convincing, I would think. But how are we in our day to hear and apply this word of our Lord in our situation? I don't suppose that too many of us are actually considering renouncing our faith in Christ. Those of us who've never practiced Judaism aren't very likely to see it as a better alternative. So what are our spiritual warning signs? How do we know when we're in danger when it comes to matters of faith and salvation? And it all comes down to our attitude toward the means of grace. How are we responding to this great message that we have received from the very mouth of the Lord, the message of salvation by God's grace through faith in him? One of the complaints that I've heard frequently throughout my time in the ministry is that we've simply heard it all before. You don't need to tell us every single Sunday that Jesus died for us, Pastor. We already know that. Why don't you tell us something we don't know? And people begin to neglect the Lord's house and fail to hear his word because it's too familiar. Old hat, the same old, same old. Why go to church when all we hear is the same thing over and over and over again? It makes sense. I get it. If a high school math teacher would just keep teaching the students that 2 + 2 = 4, they'd probably stop going to math class, and I couldn't blame them. But God's word instructs us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And the catechism explains that this means that we should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. The collect for the word reminds us that our blessed Lord has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. And so we pray that he would help us to hear them, to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by the patience and comfort of his holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. That's what's at stake here. The blessed hope of everlasting life. And that hope, that life comes to us through the means of grace. It comes to us through word and sacrament. It comes by being in the Lord's house and receiving his gifts. It is what's happening right now. The Holy Spirit is working through this word to confirm the faith in you, to establish and strengthen you in what you have received. The Holy Spirit has called you by the gospel and enlightened you with his gifts, and is even now sanctifying and keeping you in the one true faith. He's renewing you in your baptism, forgiving your sins, and making you to trust in your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has died and risen for you, so that you may indeed escape the judgment and have such a great salvation as the letter to the Hebrews proclaims. Jesus himself is the one declaring his message to you in this place. The very Son of God, who speaks a word much greater than that of Moses, much greater than the one delivered even by angels. Here, he joins you to himself inseparably forever. God grant that we, his people, would never neglect such a precious gift, but rather make regular and diligent use of it. May we be faithful, even as he has been faithful to us. Now I admit, most of you who are here this morning are those who aren't in much spiritual danger, because you're here. And most of you are here Sunday after Sunday, hearing and receiving what the Lord has to say and give. So it may be hard to see how this truly applies to you. But are any of your family or friends missing? Is there anyone you know who should be here and isn't? You can tell them. You can remind them of who they are and of what the Lord is doing here and wants desperately to do for them. Beg and plead with your children and grandchildren, or your parents and siblings, whoever they may be, not to neglect their salvation, not to fall into the trap of thinking that just because they've heard the gospel in the past, they don't need to hear it again. And if none of your family or friends are missing, then God be praised. What a joy to be in his house and to receive his gifts, because that's what we're all about. Learning, living, and sharing Christ through God's word. So if there's no one you can think of who should be here and isn't, you can always help us with our efforts to reach those who aren't. Hopefully you all know by now that our congregation is participating in Synod's Revitality Program in an effort to strengthen our overall ministry, both to our own members and in our witness to the world in which we live and work. And the CADS survey is a crucial component of that to help us measure where we're at right now and to help us determine where we want to go and how to get there. Your feedback is essential to that process. So if you haven't already completed that survey, we've been promoting this for a few weeks now. Today is the last day to get that filled out. Really, really do encourage you to do so. Take the time. It may be a little long, may take a few minutes to go through. Some of the questions may be a little challenging, but they're all relevant and helpful. By this process, we can learn the spiritual warning signs that our congregation and our members are facing, and learn and identify ways of ministering better to them, ministering better to you, so that by God's grace, Christ would continue to be proclaimed and his name glorified in our midst. All thanks and praise be to God for giving us his Son, who will continue to deliver his great salvation to us. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.